Welcome back to part two of the podcast this week on Come and See Inspirations. My name is Shane Ambrose. Delighted that you're with us for the podcast this week. Now, as John said in part one, I'm going to introduce us to something that's going to be happening in 2025. Now, it's a bit far away, and you're going to be, God almighty, Shane, what are you on about? Mm-hmm. But actually, we are supposed to be in preparation for it now. So I said, you know what? It might be no harm for us to talk about Jubilee 2025 and what it means and what it's all about. So, and now, one thing I am going to say to people is, if you are online, if you Google Jubilee 2025, there is a lovely website which is hosted by the Dicastery for, I'm going to say evangelization. But anyway, if you just Google it, it comes up. I'm not going to call out the address because it's jubilarium2025.va. And it's Jubilee in Latin, but starts with an I. So you know what I mean? I'm not going to call it out. Just Google Jubilee 2025.
But the links will be on our...
And the link, obviously, the link will be in the podcast okay. notes. So what is a Jubilee and why are we having a Jubilee year in 2025? And what's going on in 2024 in terms of preparation for it? So the idea of a Jubilee comes from the Old Testament. According to the book of Leviticus, a Jubilee year was to be celebrated every 50 years, and during which slaves were to be freed, debt was to be forgiven, and land was to rest or lie fallow. Now, if you are old enough in terms of our listenership, you say, hang on now, why is this name? Why is this familiar? Why? Yeah, the last time we had a Jubilee was in, with two. The big one was in 2000 mm-hmm. For the millennium, the turning mm-hmm. of the millennium. But John Paul II made a big deal about the Jubilee for the year 2000. And then Pope Francis called a special Jubilee or an extraordinary Jubilee in 2016, the Year of Mercy.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
So Jubilees, they originally, from going back to the Old Testament, they were to kind of prevent the concentration of wealth and the perpetual enslavement of individuals due to debt. And they also symbolized a time of renewal, freedom, equality within the community, underscoring the principles of justice, compassion, and stewardship. They were like a year-long Sabbath rest, a time of God's favour and a moment of salvation. So in the Catholic Church, a Jubilee, or a holy year, is a special year of grace. So these special years are traditionally intended to help the faithful focus on forgiveness, reconciliation, pilgrimage, we'll come back to all of those in a second. They also offered the opportunity to receive the plenary indulgences. So the first Jubilee was declared by Boniface VIII in the year 1300 to mark the beginning of that century. And he later declared that a Jubilee would be celebrated every 100 years. In 1470, Paul II increased the frequency of the Jubilee years to 50. And then 5 years later, Sixtus IV made them even more frequent, making Jubilee years a regular occurrence every 25 years. Mm-mm. So hence the reason 2025, we have what's called an ordinary Jubilee or holy year, because that's, you know, the last one was in the year 2000. A significant Jubilee, of course, as I said, was the Great Jubilee declared by John Paul II for the year 2000, and which marked the beginning of the third millennium. Now, what is the key kind of, if you like, kind of thing that stands out? What is the symbol of a Jubilee year? And the main thing which people might remember is the opening of the doors, the holy doors mm-hmm. and the basilicas in Rome. So basically, what happens is that there are what are called holy doors on the five what are called papal basilicas. They used to be called the patriarchal basilicas in Rome. So that's St. Peter's, St. John Lateran, St. Mary Major, St. Paul's outside the walls, and there's only four papal basilicas. Mm-hmm. There used to be more, but they've been downgraded. They used to have St. Lawrence outside the walls as well, but that's no longer a papal basilica. So the door is open, and the idea is that people go on pilgrimage to Rome and pass through the doors to gain the plenary indulgence, as well as, you know, getting confessions, praying for the Pope, attending Mass, you know, the standard requirements to get an indulgence. Now, the theme for the Jubilee year in 2025 is Pilgrims of Hope. And it'll be, and it's kind of the idea is that it'll be a year of walking together in hope and trust amidst a world suffering through the impacts of war, pandemics, and the increased threats to global climate. Now, the underlying call for the Jubilee has still to be published. So what happens is to what's called begin a Jubilee year, the Pope would issue what's called a papal bull. B-U-L-L-L. It's the most solemn declaration by a pope, a bull. It's a kind of a document, and it comes from the name bulla, which is from the lead seal that used to seal the document to signify its importance. So Pope Francis has to issue the bull for the Jubilee year for 2025 yet, so that still has to happen. But he gave the responsibility for the preparations to the dicastery for the new evangelization and Cardinal Richichella to prepare for it, which is why we're in that process at the moment. So, we'll do the characteristics of the Jubilee first, John. We'll just talk through those.
Okay.
So one of the main things is pilgrimage. So when the Jubilees were originally declared, it was all about pilgrimages to Rome. Now, that's been slightly expanded in the last two Jubilee years. So people might remember for the Jubilee, for the Year of Mercy, local dioceses were able set aside a holy door. So I know here in our own diocese in Limerick, one of the doors into the cathedral was signified as the holy door for the year. The holy door, of course, is the great symbol of the Jubilee year, and people have that famous image of John Paul II opening the doors of the basilicas. Now, one of them, I think it was the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. And he was dressed in that multicoloured catastrophe of a cope.
Well, that's one way of describing it. Okay.
But obviously, of course, you had that very, you know, it was a very famous image because obviously by 2000, John Paul II was, you know, he was getting infirm.
Yeah.
So you had that, you know, that image of him opening the doors to the third millennium. Particularly when he opened the one in St. Peter's, and then kneeling at the door to pray for the church and for the world. And again, obviously, then you had that great imagery for when he opened the holy door at St. Paul outside the walls, because he was joined, I think from memory, it was the Archbishop of Canterbury, and I can't remember who was representing the Orthodox Church, but they all knelt at the door when the door was opened. You know, so it was the symbolism of it more than anything else, which was so important. Now, ecumenism is an important theme, or could be an important theme, for 2025. We're not 100% sure yet. Now, the reason I'm saying that is the year 2025 is the 1,700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea, which was held in 425 AD. And you'll go, Shane, what's the blazes as the Council of Nicaea? The Council of Nicaea is the council that gave us the creed.
The creed, yeah.
Yeah. And as the Pope describes it, the Trinitarian and Christological confession of that council, which acknowledges Jesus to be true God from true God and consubstantial with the Father. The first Council of Nicaea was called, by Emperor Constantine to confront the Arian heresy which denied Christ's divinity. The council proclamated the Nicene Creed, or the Nicene Constantinople Creed, which is still accepted by Orthodox, Anglican and other Protestant denominations, as well as ourselves in the Catholic Church. So it could be a very important ecumenical year as well, because it's also the 500th, coming up to the 500th anniversary of the Augsburg Confession, which was 28 articles presented by Lutheran princes in 1530 for approval by the church, trying to maintain unity. But the main thing anyway next year is it's the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. The Pope has made quite a number of references. The Ecumenical Patriarch in Constantinople has made a lot of references to it. So we're kind of curious. I'm kind of curious to see if there's going to be something. Is there something going on in the background in terms of... Because as well as that, the Ecumenical Patriarch made a very strange comment, I think it was last week or the week before. So the Orthodox are celebrating their Easter, I think it's like almost 2 weeks after the rest of us, because they're following a different calendar. And Patriarch Bartholomew made a comment about trying to link or sync the calendars across all the churches. So we wait and see if something comes out of that. It's been on the cards. It's been on the cards for the Catholic Church since the Second Ecumenical Council, because the bishops asked the Pope to work on it. But it hasn't happened since. But anyway, back to the Jubilee year. So like I said, it could be an ecumenical year next year because of the thing with the Council of Nicaea. So the characteristics of the Jubilee, as I said, is pilgrimage, the holy doors, encouragement of people to go for reconciliation, prayer, the profession of faith, which we've already mentioned, and of course the indulgences. Now, in terms of the preparation for the Jubilee year in 2025, I didn't actually realise this, John. I'm not sure about you, but we were actually supposed to start it last year, in 2023.
No, I didn't know that, but I know that I think did the Pope mention something about it this year?
Yes. Now I'll come to 2024 in a second. Okay. So 2023 was supposed to have been what it was. It was called the year of the Council. So what we were supposed to do in 2023 was to re-explore the teachings of the Second Vatican Council and look at the documents of the Council itself. So for anyone that's interested in that, there are what are called Council notebooks. So these are nice, plain, simple English summaries of the four main documents of the Council. John, can you list the four main documents of the Council?
Dei
Verbum, which is on the Word of God, correct?
I'll leave you off after that.
Though. Sacrosanctum Concilium, which is okay. On the celebration of the liturgy. Gaudium et Spes and Lumen Gentium. Now, it's interesting because they're not the most complicated of documents and they're not actually that long. And sometimes it'd be good. We hear an awful lot about the spirit of the Second Vatican Council. So it'd be no harm for people to kind of actually say, well, what did the Council actually say? You know, and they're very much available online if anyone was interested. But anyway, 2023 was supposed to be about exploring that. Now, 2024, bringing it right up to date. Preparations for next year. What are we supposed to be doing? So after the year dedicated to the reflection on the documents and the fruits of the Second Vatican Council, Pope Francis has asked that 2024 be marked as a year of prayer. And it started on the 21st of January, which was the Sunday of the Word of God. He basically wrote that he wants 2024 to be a great symphony of prayer, right? First of all, to recover the desire to be in the presence of the Lord, to listen to him and adore him. And in preparation for the Jubilee, therefore, individual dioceses are invited to promote the centrality of individual and community prayer during the year. Now, there are some resources online on that website I was talking about. Now, there's Notes on Prayer, which are kind of a series of books which the Dicastery has made available. Now, they're more for the diocese as resources. But for normal Joe Soaps, John, like you and me, there is a pastoral resource called Teach Us to Pray, which is free of charge and is available online for anyone that wants to have a look at it. And it is available in a number of languages, including English, and is available free of charge. It's a booklet kind of inspired by the teachings of Pope Francis and can be downloaded. It's just a PDF. PDF file if anyone, and it's not that long. I'm just going to see if I can open it here quickly in a minute. Now, so that's what we're supposed to be focusing on is 2024 as a year of prayer. Now, the resource teaches to pray is Living the Year of Prayer in Preparation for Jubilee 2025 from the Dicastery for Evangelization. It's only, just let me have a look at this now. It's not that long. I'm trying to remember how many pages it has. Well, it's long enough in that it's 73 pages long, but it's A4 size. It's quite big. So it's looking at different things. So it's looking at Pope Francis' teaching on prayer, looking at this idea of schools of prayer, flowing on from that the request of the apostles in the Gospel of St. Luke, Lord, teach us to pray. It looks at a prayer in the parish community and focusing on the Eucharist, the Liturgy of the Hours, Eucharistic adoration. It talks about prayer in the family, young people's prayer, catechesis on prayer, and then it looks at the prayers of in sanctuaries, so that would be places like Knock, or prayers in the cloister, so that would be the pilgrimage to monasteries as well. So I think it's a nice resource. There's bits and pieces that you could dip in and out of there, which might help in terms of providing a focus for prayer during the current year as well. Now, in addition to that, we also have theme tune. So as well as that, then the other things that they've done, there's a logo. You know, the Vatican can't do anything without a logo. So there's a logo for the year. So it's a number of people clutching the cross and an anchor. So it's an interesting one. The explanation of the logo is online, but it's in Italian, and so I don't speak Italian, so I'll need to get someone to translate that for me to explain what it is. So you have the logo, we have the hymn.
The hymn is Pilgrims of Hope,
which makes sense because it's the theme of the year. Yeah, Pilgrims of Hope, which is the theme for the Jubilee year as well. And then on top of that as well, there's different things. So if you're going to Rome, you can get a pilgrim's card and register, and you get kind of your certificate, almost like you're doing a Camino. There's special Jubilee events. So there's a calendar, which is going to be online for people to see what's going there, what's happening there. And obviously as well, then also we'll keep an eye on what's happening locally. So obviously, if you go to Rome, you'll visit the papal basilicas. And as well as that, then they have a lovely one. They have a nice little one up already, which is you can do 7 churches of Rome, which is an alternative to the basilicas. But there's another one as well, which is the patronesses of Europe and doctors of the church. So what it is it's a list of churches linked to great female saints of the church, including, for example, you know, St. Bridget, St. Cecilia. It's an interesting one to do as well if you were planning a trip to Rome. So it's as I said, so it's Saint Catherine of Siena, Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, Saint Cecilia, Saint Hildegard of Bingen, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, and St. Thérèse of Avila. So churches that are associated with all those strong patronesses of Europe and powerful doctors of the church. And I think actually it's a particularly nice touch that I particularly like. But obviously, of course, not everybody can get to Rome. And to be honest, I don't know. I was in Rome for the Jubilee. Now, granted, I was there for the World Youth Day, which is a bit different, but the crowds, I couldn't hack the crowds, I have to say.
That's the thing.
Yeah, so, you know, so it will depend. And Rome is struggling to deal with crowds at the moment. But anyway, let's hopefully they get their stuff organized and get themselves together in terms of preparation for the Jubilee year.
But there's a lot on that website, Shane, that you mentioned. Yeah, so flicking through it.
There's a whole lot on the website. I, to be honest, it was only when we started preparing this segment for the podcast, myself and John really got into it, that there is a whole load of things there in terms of preparation and things that are available. So it's, you know, if people want to check it out, there is a
the link will be up in our notes. So it's, the link, it's important. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's got its own website. If for those of you that are talking to younger people or even Silver Surfers, it has its own Instagram page. It has its own Twitter account. It will have its own Facebook page, and they will also have their own YouTube channel.
Excuse me, did you mention a comment that silver what?
Silver Surfers.
Is that what you call me?
I don't know about you, John.
Okay. Thanks. Okay.
So that's it. So the Teach Us to Pray resource, it's something myself and John will probably come back to again throughout the year. We're going to dive into it and look at it and probably use it as a resource and maybe do a podcast on the different sections of the Teach Us to Pray resource throughout the next couple of months as our little contribution for the year of prayer in preparation for the Jubilee. And by the way, I'm just telling John this news now, so it's a bit of a surprise to me.
But I tell you, I mean, it's even information there on concerts and exhibitions and register and whatever.
Yeah, now the problem, of course, is a lot of that is very much focused on the city of Rome at the moment. So obviously, locally, they haven't quite started their preparation for it yet. It'll be interesting to see what the Irish Church does, because it's obviously going to very much link in with the preparations for the National Synodal Pathway, which is also going to be ongoing at the same time. It begins now. That's an important thing. What I should have said, the Jubilee of Year of Hope will begin on Christmas Eve 2024 and will end on the Feast of the Epiphany over a year later on the 6th of January 2026.
Yeah, okay.
So it will open Christmas Eve 2024. That will open with the opening of the Holy Door in St. Peter's. And it will close with the closing of the Holy Door of St. Peter's on 6th of January 2026. So obviously that's the plan. Now, it's interesting. The Holy Door opening, John, has actually become much simpler than it was before. It's actually the physical opening of the doors. Mm. Whereas in previous centuries, what actually used to happen was the pontiff used to take a hammer to the wall, because they, when the door isn't actually open, it's actually bricked up.
Okay.
Yeah. So they used to, you know, but that when the pontiff took a hammer to the door and it, the stone used to come crumbling down, it used to cause problems. So now they just go, well, we'll take away the stone and we'll just get the door to the
makes
pope
a bit
to
of
open
sense.
It.
It makes a bit of sense.
Yeah, very much so.
So the bull apparently is due to be published sometime this year.
Yeah. So the bulls announcing the Jubilee are usually published on or around the Solemnity of the Ascension. Which is in about 3 weeks' time. So for the 2025 Jubilee, publication is expected on or around the 9th of May.
So let's see what's happening and keep our listeners involved.
And normally from an Irish perspective, I would say to people, have a look at the Veritas website and see what resources they have available. But given that Veritas is closing down, I'm not quite sure where we're supposed to go right now.
With this, there's a piece that, you know, there's a hymn.
Yes.
Let's listen to Pilgrims of Hope.